You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, look slick, shower, after I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave, brush my teeth with the water, always see me with Fiji bottles of water, in the summer it's hotter, take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up like lobsters, indigenous warriors.
God, give me work till my life shall end, and life till my work is done. Willoughby Holtby, Song of a Woman's Soul, from the Book of Prayers. Good afternoon, my faith and family friends. I'm so happy to be with you today, grateful for your listening, grateful for you and your wonderful lives. Whatever is happening in our lives, we are grateful in the moment for the joys that we have. This is Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, of course, and I'm here to share with you a support for living abundantly. And today the theme is encouragement, abundant living. Our guest is a woman who is a wonderful encouragement for living abundantly our whole lives through. She lives vibrantly and abundantly, volunteering, serving, a grandmother, a new great-grandmother this summer, a friend who keeps confidences and engages in self-care so that she can stay balanced, and has also had challenges and integrated them into her heart, growing, moving forward, and is an inspiration. Encouragement for abundant living. That's our theme. Sakina, hello.
Hello.
Would you please introduce your name, yourself, your full name, and tell us one thing that you think our audience might like to know about you?
Okay, Sakina Salahuddin. And one thing that I think the audience would like to know is that I grew up in the South in a very segregated community.
Okay, all right. And that's interesting because sometimes we feel that's coming back around, don't we?
Yes, definitely.
And yet we are grateful for the progress that we've made. You know, we have this topic today, encouragement, living abundantly. And the first thing I wanted to ask, just as a background question, how long have you lived in Columbus, Ohio, and what do you like about our city?
I've lived in Columbus since 2011, for about 12 years. And what I like about Columbus is that I see it as a very vibrant community. It offers a lot for everyone, and I've met a lot of people here. When I first moved here, I joined the Senior Citizen Center, and I met a lot of women there. We become friends and remain friends. But to me, Columbus, when everyone asked me, why did you move from Florida to Columbus? And I really didn't. Once my husband passed away, I didn't have that much of a life in Florida. So I decided to move up here because my daughter lives here. And it's been, everything about it has been good for me. I have, I'm involved with organizations here. I have good friends. My daughter is here, and I have two grandchildren here and two great-grandchildren. So what I tell people is that I do have more of a life. I'm more involved. And sometimes we don't know about some of the downsides of Florida. Like, well, we know about the hurricanes. There are alligators. There are snakes. So I'm happy to be here. I'm enjoying myself.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we're really happy to have you here. And I sure, I've only known you for a year through Zoom, but at our meetings, but I certainly have enjoyed getting to know you, beginning to get to know you. And I'm so glad you came here. And that was an opportunity for you to grow and continue life here with your family. You mentioned volunteering, and that's one of the things of abundant living. You mentioned willingness to grow, and we'll get back to that, acceptance, and we'll get back to that when there's challenges. There are ups and downs in life, but we still can live abundantly. But I wanted to ask you about your volunteering. Tell us about the ways you're serving others and why.
Well, actually, when I moved here, I didn't move here thinking that I would be volunteering. And I didn't really start volunteering until I was older and living in Connecticut. And when my children were younger, it was all about the children. We didn't do too much volunteering. But I was recruited to AARP by one of my friends, and I decided I would give it a try. And we were doing some of the things that we were doing with AARP, I wasn't really that interested in, because I had a strong interest in health and wellness, and I was about to give it up. And one of the person who was over the volunteers asked me if I would be interested in volunteering at a walk with a doc program. And you go out into different communities and physicians walk with you. So I did that, and I stayed in. And around that time, when I joined, AARP was doing a lot with fraud, which they still do. That's a huge program, giving fraud presentations, caregiving, home fit, and advocacy. So at the time that I was wanting to get out, they started a series of brain health presentations. So I was very interested in that. So I started doing the brain health presentations. But there's a lot that you can do. It's called the presentation that I do is called the Six Pillars of Brain Health.
Yeah.
But there's a lot you can do with AARP. They have, like I said, if you're interested in advocacy, going to the meeting with your representatives and trying to get certain bills passed or introducing certain bills. But also, there's a caregiving program where you have presentations on being a caregiver.
Yes.
Or being a person who's getting the care. You have Home Fit where they will come in and talk about how to remodel your home so that you can remain there if that's what you want to do.
Right.
But I do the Six Pillars of Brain Health I do, and I've also done the movies, registering people to go to the movies for grown-ups. And we have tables at a lot of different events. I work the tables. But there's a lot that you can do, that you can choose from to do with AARP.
You know, that is true, because I know I attended online your presentation of the, what did you say, Seven Pillars of Brain Health?
Six. Well, at the time we gave that presentation, it was five pillars and now
it's
six pillars.
Okay. Well, I attended that one. I loved it. And I often use as an excuse when I'm talking to my family or something, I forget something. I said, well, now the brain is not made to hold all this information. You're supposed to write it down in a calendar and everything. And we laugh about it. So I remember the things you mentioned. And it's a wonderful way to volunteer and serve your community. I was looking up some of the things that they were inviting you to do. Like there are things you can do from your home, for instance, call people and like be a friend. You know, I don't know the proper title, but they encourage you to call people, spend so many hours a week, and they give you the list and you call and have a conversation. You become a friend for them and you help them deal with isolation. I love that. Tell us a little more about the movies you volunteered to share with people. What is that program?
Well, it's called The Movies for Grown Ups, and you don't have to be a volunteer to attend these movies. And what AARP selects certain movies that they think are good for grown-ups or that grown-ups would be interested in. And during COVID, we had several online. We could go in, like they had them mostly on Friday evenings. You could go in and look at the movie from home. So, but what AARP does, sometimes the movie producer, whoever, the distributor will give us, let us view the movies before they are actually released in the theaters.
Okay.
And, yeah, and we go, like they just had part three of My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, yes.
And it was, yeah, and it was at one of the theaters at Easton. And so any AARP member can go to these movies. And so, but as a volunteer, we will go and sit out front. We have our tables and our tablets, and we register people. And you register for these movies online. And AARP sends out a lot of emails. They send out a lot of
they sure do.
Mail. And they kind of drive you crazy with that. but you can register online for the movies. And then when you get there, they check you in. They don't give you free popcorn or any of that, but the movie is free.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, Faith and Family friends, this is something for you to remember. Of course, you have to be an AARP member, which we are, and our spouses are. I became one when he became one, and then I'm now one on my own. And yes, you do get lots and lots of emails, and they have a lot of good information. You mentioned fraud. I did have a program on Faith and Family, having my cousin on, who's an engineer, and he talked about internet fraud. So AARP does a great job with that, and this movie program is wonderful for you. Join AARP, pardon me, and then you can go to these movies free. So that's great. Pardon me. Now, you know, that is so important to give and to share service with people. That is a big part of abundant living. And relationships are so important also. So I mentioned that you're a grandmother and a great-grandmother. I didn't know you had two great-grandchildren, but I know
actually,
you told me about the new one this week, this summer, I think. Is that right?
Yes.
And
I actually have seven grands and seven great-grands.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell me about your life as a grandmother and a great-grandmother.
To me, and it's one of the most important things in my life, and I try to maintain. Now, my two oldest grandchildren live in Ohio, but they're both 2 hours away, one 2 hours to the north and the other 2 hours to the south, and I have all of the great-grandchildren are here in Connecticut, and I have five grandchildren in Connecticut. And so I would see the grandchildren in Connecticut anywhere from 2 to 3 times a year. And I cut that back during COVID.
Sure.
And I have to start back. But during COVID, I had, with the Connecticut grand, I had a Zoom call. We started every week.
That was what I was going to ask you, since they're at a distance, what you do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have the Zoom calls. And we have cut back some now that COVID is over, and they came here. They used to come here to see me every summer and stay 2 or 3 weeks, the Connecticut ones. And so they were here last summer for the first time since COVID, and then they came back this summer. But I have phone contacts with them. And what I like about the grandkids, especially the ones who are teenagers, they're very open with me. You know, we have really good conversations. And they seem to be pretty mature for their age. Because I asked one, I said, well, he's now 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him one day, because they've always been able to really articulate and really carry on these sophisticated conversations. So I asked the grandson recently, I said, well, do you have these type of conversations with your friends? And he said, yeah, they have. And my son, my oldest son, he performed for a while in music.
Mm-hmm.
And so this grandson wants to be a musician. And so he's been spending time with him, trying to tell him the ins and outs, taking him shopping for different things. But he said that Teron brought over 2 or 3 of his friends when he came over to his house the other day. And he started telling me about these conversations and how mature they are. So I felt good about that.
That's great.
Yeah, but I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy the grandparenting and being a great-grand.
I bet you do. I can tell that you do. And this summer, didn't they visited you? But what I picked up, it was wonderful how you shared, but you said, what did you have to do, rest after they left?
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened, I had been to Miami for my class reunion.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so time I came back, I got back on a Sunday, and that Sunday, my daughter and I went to Cincinnati and to pick up, because my granddaughter had just had a baby, so we went up, we picked up, she already had one of her grandsons here, and we went up and picked up the little granddaughter. So I was keeping the granddaughter during the day, and my daughter took the grandson to school. She's a teacher, so she had him going to summer school with her. So, and then when the three granddaughters came, we went back to Cincinnati to take the grandkids back. So by the time they left, well, we drove them halfway. We drove them to Pennsylvania, to meet up with the parents. And I was exhausted. All I could do was just drop when I came back. I mean, I was just, my body wouldn't let me do anything.
Well, that's okay, and you listened. But the thing that is so important about what you're saying and the encouragement for abundant living is you have strong, nurturing relationships and connections. You mentioned your friends that you've developed from AARP, and then you're mm-hmm. talking about your family and grands and the conversations, the depth of it, and Zooming. Mm-hmm. And quiet as it's kept, you inspired me to get a Zoom account of my own, because you have one and you would send us an invitation for our meetings. And I would, get on the Zoom. So I have a Zoom account and can Zoom with people that I need to. In fact, I have a Zoom meeting coming up on Saturday, but most of my organizations do, my Creation Care Unit, we Zoom because we're all over Columbus, mm-hmm. all over the conference, the Ohio conference.
Okay.
But you made me think of this. One of the mm-hmm. resources I wanted to share, and I'll do it later, Trivita, Feel Better Today, Healthier Tomorrow. And they have a wonderful 10 essentials to feeling your best every day. And mm-hmm. years ago when I did my sabbatical, when I was on the national staff of my denomination, I used this as a centerpiece for my self-care sabbatical and worked with a health coach. And it has lovely things in it. And you can Google Trivita, forget the supplements, but just asking, you can download this and they have a video that they share to keep balance. You know, they talk about water.
Okay.
They talk about breathing, five mm-hmm. deep breathing 5 times a day. But here they have what I hear is a big key in your living so vitally and abundantly. Give and receive love. As you give and receive love freely and generously, you will be blessed with meaningful lifelong relationships and cherished memories that will bring joy in happy times and strength and peace in difficult times. And don't you find that that is very true?
It's definitely true, and I think it kind of goes both ways, because I'm hoping, because, you know, I have memories. I wish, I told my granddaughters when they were here, I said, you all need to move here. And they didn't want to go home when they were supposed to go. So they were calling their parents and telling them they wanted to stay. And one of them took my phone, she said, because I was about to text her mom. And she said, let me hold your phone. I'm going to pretend this is you writing this text, and I'll tell her. But I'm hoping that they will always have good memories of me and the time that we spent together. And because I didn't know, I knew my grandmother, but things are different. We didn't have the type of relationship I had with my grandchildren. But my grandchildren and my siblings' grandchildren had a, it was a different type of relationship, but it was a good relationship. They were crazy about my parents, and so I kind of wanted to model that with
of
my
course.
Grandchildren. Yes. So, yeah, I think it, to me, it makes a huge difference in my life.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Giving and receiving love is essential for abundant and vibrant living. You just can't live without giving love and receiving love. And that's very important. I have wonderful, I can guarantee that your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, but especially your grandchildren, are going to savor memories of you and enjoy them now and are talking about them now and into the future, because I have wonderful grandparents, and I remember them and each one, how special each one and the special relationship I had with each one. So I can guarantee that they will, that they will remember and enjoy. Do you have any advice for people who have grandchildren?
I would say, regardless of the distance, try to maintain a relationship with them. And I don't criticize them. I try not to criticize, and I mainly listen when I'm with them and, you know, ask them probing questions. And I want to know all of, you know, how they're doing, what's going on. And I try to ask them open-ended questions. I don't ask them when they can say yes, no response, because I want to know for sure. Like, I would say, okay, Kena, what's happening in your life since we last talked? If she said, this is the one who's 17, and if she shared something about her friends, I would say, well, what's happening with you and Desire, or whoever friend she shares something with me about? But I would say, be open with them. And like I was saying, I try to model what my parents did. And my parents weren't, they were very kind to us. They were, you know, they had their standards and they had expectations, but they never put us down. They never screamed at us. They weren't emotionally abusive. They were just, we didn't have a lot, but they were really good. So I try to let them know that I'm there for them. I don't get into anything about the parents. You know, I don't, and this, I have two sons and a daughter. And so I just, and sometimes I let them lead the way. When we were doing Zoom, I said, okay, what do y'all want to talk about today?
Yes.
And then kind of make sure that each person has an opportunity. And they do what they want to do, because one who was a lot younger when we were doing Zoom, she's 12 now, she would want to end the Zoom call with a little dance.
Oh, that's cute.
So, yeah, we said, okay. And then she also liked to show us, I would have to share the screen so she could show us some of the projects she's been doing in school. But essentially, I make it all about them, not about me.
Yes, I love that. Listening and focusing on them, giving and receiving
yes.
love. That's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a part of abundant living before we go on our break is balance. And you can't give from an empty pot. So tell us, you know, how you do self-care. What do you do for self-care?
I try to be very conscious of that. And I think I started exercising seriously. Okay, I've lived in Kansas. And when I lived in Kansas, I used to walk. And I was in my probably 30s and 40s. And I would walk. A friend and I would walk. We lived in the kind of hilly community.
Yes.
She would drive down to my house, park her car. We'd walk up to her house and walk back to mine. But once I moved to Connecticut, and I was maybe about 46, 47, I got really serious about it.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly why, but I did. I upped my routine. I would walk on the treadmill. Try every day. I started doing the strength training. And so now I do a lot of research on healthy living.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so in terms of exercise, my goal is 6 days a week.
Yes.
I don't always reach that goal, but I do the cardio, which is my walking. I do the treadmill most of the time.
Okay.
I do at least 2 days a week, I do Pilates. At least 2 days a week, I do strength training. And I take a Tai Chi class, which I do twice a week.
Yes, I love Tai Chi, yes.
Right. And when I'm not in class, I would practice at home. And then, you know, I always, for a long time, I thought I was eating well. But, you know, as scientists learn more about food
yes.
and its value, and that's good, then you change your diet based on that. So I'm vegan, and I became vegan when my husband passed away from a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to find some information on preventing heart attacks because it was, His side of the family, heart attacks were kind of rampant and when people were young. And so I was trying to find some information to share with my children.
Absolutely.
I ran across a book called Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease by Dr. Esselstyn. I don't remember his first name.
I have heard of that book, yes.
It's a good book, and he subscribes to a vegan diet, and that's one of the treatments that he uses for his patients.
Okay.
But also, other doctors who can't do any more for their patients with heart disease will send their patients to him. And he tells some stories in the book about his work as a cardiologist, his patients, but he uses that book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I try to eat. My diet is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't mean that I like to have something sweet most days, but I'll do like a vegan ice cream sandwich or some type of little cookie, but I don't. And I do a lot of measuring up my food,
mm-hmm.
and I won't eat potato chips. I love them, but most of the time I won't eat them. Because I'll buy a bag and I come home and I said, okay, I'm just going to eat a little bit each day. And that doesn't
mm-hmm.
work for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I can't just eat one potato chip, so I can't bring them in the house.
Exactly. So things that I know, and like I won't cook. I used to cook like, I love sweet potato pies, brownies, banana pudding, but I won't cook that stuff anymore unless it's a holiday or something. So that's what I try to do. I try to keep the exercise up and try to watch what I am socializing. And that's beginning to move up the scale in importance, in significance in terms of our health. It's up there now, I think, with exercise and diet. So I really value my friends, and, you know, I don't know what I would do without them. So we, of course, I'm connecting through with friends and organization members through the organization, so Lunch Bunch and AARP. But then I have, with some of my friends, we still would take time and go out to dinner or visit each other. So that's what I do with health, with self-care.
Well, it sounds like you have a very well-thought-out plan for self-care, and that's really important to maintaining balance because, like as they used to say about moms, when I was a young mom, you can't give from an empty pot, so you have to take care
right.
of yourself. And this empowers you so that you can give and receive love. You can volunteer and serve others. And one theme I hear through, too, as you talk about Florida, your husband, integrating that into your heart and doing what you do, Trivita in their little wellness booklet, you can Google it online, trivita.com. They have a nice mm-hmm. video about the 10 essentials for wellness. One of the things they talk about, and I hear that with you, develop acceptance. When you develop the ability to identify and accept the circumstances in your life, you mm-hmm. cannot change. Develop circumstances in your life that you cannot change, yet strive
right.
to make positive changes whenever and wherever you can. You will discover lasting peace and hope.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're right. There's some things you just, I couldn't change the death of my husband.
No.
I mean, it was sudden. It just
yeah.
happened.
Oh, uh-huh.
It just
I'm
happened.
Sorry.
So I couldn't change that at all. So you
yes.
try to make peace with it and decide, are you going to sit around? And I've known some people, I've had students who would tell me, one student told me her father died and her mother just couldn't seem to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to. You have to kind of make yourself sometimes.
Well, and that's where your
yeah.
connections come in, your friendships, your family, your relationships, and your spiritual practice or whatever. That is where that comes in. And that develop acceptance, that is so important. And you're sharing that and how you've managed, and we admire you for it and thank you for it and sharing it. You know, I want to go to a quick break, and we'll just have a few moments of silence, and then we'll come right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal. This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You know, faith and family friends, our theme today is encouragement, abundant living. And encouraging us is our guest, Sakina. And please reintroduce yourself and tell us 3 things that you are grateful for.
Okay, I'm Sakina Salahuddin. And 3 things that I'm grateful for. One, I'm really grateful for the relationship that I have with my children. And we are very respectful of each other. I'm really grateful for my grandchildren and the great-grands. And I'm grateful that I was able to carry on and with my life once my husband passed away.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because gratitude is so essential to life. When we're grateful, it means, as my son used to say, you're seeing, not just looking. You're noticing life, and you're in the present moment, and you are seeing what is there for you to value, to love, how you're being cared for, and what you love and what you're grateful for, and the people. And you're not viewing life. We hear so much now about scarcity, and I won't get off on that, but there's really no such thing in the universe. It's just what people do with resources by greed and other things. That's what I think. And we have fullness. And so gratitude is so very important. And you know, when we practice gratitude, here's what the authors say. Sincere gratitude will lift and inspire you. Recognizing and appreciating all you have empowers you to find and express true joy. And that's what we hear with you today. Don't you find that's true?
I think it is. It's very true. And, you have to make yourself happy.
Yes.
We can't depend on others for our happiness. Although they contribute to our happiness, we have to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I forgot to mention that I do for self-care, I quilt.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, I quilt. And so that, and I just started maybe 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I also, I'm into plants. I'm addicted to plants. So I buy too many plants. But those are 2 other things. But yes, I think we have to, those things do uplift us.
Yes, they do.
And yes, and the happiness I feel, you know, like my daughter, she'll come by sometimes on her way from work, but she comes over almost every Saturday and Sunday, and we just sit and talk about different things. So we'll look at something on TV, and I have one son who calls a lot more than the other. And but we have good conversations, and I try to do the same with them that I do with the grandkids. I don't probe into their lives. If they want to discuss something with me, that's fine. But I'm not going to go probing or anything like that. So, yeah.
One of the resources I wanted to share is From Gratitude to Bliss. It's a journal in health and happiness. And inside, the author lays out the importance of gratitude, the benefits to health that we've been talking about, and the benefits of healing and your spiritual connections, inner beauty, insight, joy. And you can Google this. It's called Bliss, Gratitude, From Gratitude to Bliss, A Journey in Health and Happiness. And listeners, you can go to Nourish by Nature, all one word, put that in your Google, and it'll pop up, or www.nourishbynature.com, and you can have access to this journal or take a look at it, and you could even produce your own. But one of the things it recommend, a theologian used to say, in the morning, write three things down that you're grateful for. Also, Michelle Obama's book, The Light We Carry. And I loved how you
that.
Have you read that? It's a wonderful book. And it does help, as I said, integrate challenges and hard times into, you know, continuing to be balanced, being able to carry your light. And Disrupting Aging. That's an AARP CEO. That's Joanne Jenkins. And I haven't read that, but I saw it in my latest AARP magazine, one of them or something. And it's Flourishing in an Anti-Aging Culture. Now, that's my next resource, Flourishing in an Anti-Aging Culture by Sharon W. Betters and Susan Hunt. So that's From Gratitude to Bliss, A Journey to Health and Happiness. Mm-hmm. And you just Google, or you can go on www.nourishmentbynature.com for access to that. Michelle Obama's The Light We Carry. That's easy to look up on Amazon for our listeners. Aging with Grace. That's an AARP book. A P book, but I think you probably can look that up on Google or Amazon.
Yes.
And then, of course, this book that I've read, and there's a journal with it too, The Book of Joy by Desmond Tutu, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and His Holiness Dalai Lama. That is a wonderful book. And, of course, integrating, you know, the challenges and yet how we integrate and still find joy and gratitude. It's a wonderful book. And then I think I mentioned Aging with Grace, Flourishing in an Anti-Aging Culture. And this is by Sharon W. Betters and Susan Hunt. And I love what they quote in the beginning here from the Psalms. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
It's wonderful, and that's what you're doing, and that's what we're here for on Faith and Family, to encourage our listeners to live abundantly, because that is the whole purpose. And sometimes we get so inundated by all the media, negative media that's coming at us, that we have to take a break from that and do something else. And you're balancing that so well in your life, and that's how we want to encourage our listeners to do. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us in our remaining minutes that has helped you to enjoy your life and to overcome challenges? Like the biggest one seems to be the passing of your precious husband. Anything you'd like to share? Your choice. Don't, you know, share what you would be comfortable doing.
That was probably the biggest challenge, and I was able to work through that with families and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another challenge I had was when I got my PhD.
Oh, wonderful.
That was a challenge. But I was thinking about that today, but I never thought about quitting. I don't know why.
Good.
You know how that is. You know,
I do. I have my doctorate, yes.
But it was probably the most, because it was more difficult than the bachelor's and the master's. But to me, I enjoyed it more, and perhaps because our professors thought of us as, I wouldn't say on their level academically, but they treated us like we were adults.
Yeah, you're like peers. I know exactly what
peers,
you mean.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mutual respect, yes.
Mutual respect. So I know I went on campus one day to hand in a final paper. My daughter went with me, and she said, "My, that doesn't seem like a teacher student." She said, "They seem like you all are on the same level."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yeah, you're treated more like peers," but I really appreciated that. And I think for me, that was probably the most rewarding of the three.
Mm-hmm.
But it was challenging. It was very, very challenging because, for one, I had three children, and I think the youngest was, I think Ramadan was about 10 or 11, and my daughter was just going off to college. And I remember asking, my husband had gotten his PhD, and he was encouraging me to go back. But the strange thing was, when we got married, he didn't have a degree. I had a bachelor's degree. He didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he went on and got those degrees. But I remember thinking, now, how am I going to do this? I have two children at home. One is just going on the way to college. And so I had a talk with my husband. I said, "You're going to have to help me more, you know, here in the house." So he did. He assumed more. He always liked to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So he assumed more responsibility for that. And he started doing the laundry. And I remember one day I said, "Oh, you didn't wash these right." He's like, "Oh, do you want to do the laundry?" Like,
that's no. Right. If I do it, you have to accept how I do it.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that, you know, that was a challenge. And I think,
but it stretched you in a good way. It's a challenge, yes. But it's exciting. It's exciting. And that's a part of abundant living, too. Finding ways to be vibrant and involved and to grow in mind, body, and spirit. And that's what you're doing. And in that doctorate, you were stretching yourself in your mind. And that's exciting. I enjoyed that myself. So what was your PhD in? What was your focus?
Well, it was in human ecology with an emphasis on family life education and family life education and communication. I'm even forgetting the last word, the last part of it. So, but yeah, and I got my master's in social work administration.
Now, where did you go to school? Were you in the South at the time, in Florida?
Well, I went to Knoxville College for my undergrad. It's a historically black school in Tennessee. In Knoxville,
what's the
Tennessee.
Name of it?
Knoxville College.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then for my master's, I went to Barry University, and that's in Miami. And for my doctorate, I went to Kansas State, because we were living in Kansas at the time.
Oh, okay.
So
okay, you moved around quite a bit. Okay, so you
have
accepted and adjusted in lots of ways. You've had a practice in developing acceptance, haven't you?
Yeah, and what's strange about moving, I was always, growing up, I was a homebody. I was extremely shy, and I never spent a night with a friend or anything like that. But when I got ready to go to college, I wanted to go out of Florida, which was surprising to me. And so I had to work a year because my parents didn't have money to send me out of state. I could have gone to the community college, but I did that. But once I got married and we moved to Kansas because my husband was in the military, I liked it. And I, you know, I wish he was there in 4 years and we stayed at the same base for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that moving around and seeing different communities. Yeah, and I wouldn't mind moving more. You know, I don't think it's that easy for the children. But then looking at, like, Kansas was just totally different from Miami. You know, you.
I believe so.
Oh my gosh! When we pulled into town, I'm like, where are we?
I know.
And then I was like pregnant, but then Connecticut was different too. I've lived in all these different communities, and I appreciate all of them.
You appreciate all of them because they gave you something, and you gave them something in each one. Did
yes.
you share your did you work outside the home, or you that was for personal development?
I always work. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, I just always. I don't know why I never thought of it any other way.
Okay.
I would work. Yeah, the first 20 years I worked in child welfare in Miami.
Oh, neat. Oh,
and in
wonderful.
Kansas. And then once I got my doctorate, I taught at St. Joseph University in Connecticut.
Okay.
And then I retired from Florida Gulf Coast University.
Okay.
In Florida, in Fort Myers.
What was the name of it?
Florida Gulf Coast.
Okay, yes. I've been to Fort Myers, well, mm-hmm. lots of places in Florida visiting. But, yeah, okay, wonderful. So you have spent a lifetime in the practice of abundant living. And mm-hmm. That's really what it takes. And now at this point, you're still giving, you're still serving, but you're still balanced and still taking care of yourself. And I think that is just wonderful. And you have just been such a fabulous guest today. And I just appreciate you so much for coming on just for a conversation. I know you didn't know how it would turn out. And I wasn't sure, but I just felt that you are so vibrant and live such an abundant life. And I wanted our faith and family friends to get to meet you and to receive the encouragement for abundant living that you give. And so I just appreciate your being here. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And thank you for thinking of me in that way, because as they say, others see you differently from the way you see yourself. Because I never, you know I enjoy life and I try to do things, you know, to help others, help myself. But I never thought of myself as living abundantly. So,
well, that's because I think our culture doesn't permit that.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a key thing in the faith and the spirituality that I practice, and
mm-hmm.
I think other and gratitude you can practice as a faithing person or non-faithing person. It's gratitude
yes.
is neutral in that way, but our culture, you just can't listen to all the yakking. As the song Yakety Yak, you can't listen to all the yakety yak
mm-hmm.
Out there. And you're careful with your relationships and just so many things. And as we've gone along, we've pointed out those some of those tenets of abundant living, and you are practicing those the whole life through. And I'm just encouraging our faith and family friends to listen and continue to practice, because that's what we do mm-hmm. on this program. I try to share guests who can share information that supports the practice of abundant living, because that is, and I will say that is what our Jesus wanted for us, and that's what we all want. That's what our parents want for us, and we want
yes.
for our children. And so Jewish, Muslim, Catholic denomination, or whatever faith, Buddhist, whatever, Christian, that is a key part of every practice. Even if you feel you have a non-practice, gratitude and living abundant is a practice. Nobody wants to live and say, oh, my life is just droll and dull, and, you know, continue that forever. Everybody is looking for meaning and purpose, everybody. And that's really, this is a different topic, but that's really the key to a lot of our addictions mm-hmm. in our culture, the lack thereof.
And we can do a lot about it ourselves.
We can. That's what I love, what you said. It's about choice. It's about
mm-hmm.
choice. So, faith and family listeners, I'm so grateful for our guest today, Sakina, and we have talked about encouragement, abundant living, and we just wish you the most abundant life that life has to offer. And I will say now that I wish you blessings galore, and I'll join you the next time. And I hope you enjoyed listening to Odetta, who will be closing us out with This Little Light of Mine. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
I'm going to let it shine. There's a little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. There's a little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yes, there's a little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, shine. There's a little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. May we know that together. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Mama, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. I'm gonna let it shine. Shine. Oh, everywhere I go. Shine everywhere I go. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
All in my room, I'm gonna let it shine. All in my room,
I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light, this light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, shine, shine.
This little light of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water. Catch California slipping? Never. Let's say imposters, you already know. Cali mountaintops with snow, the Sierras in the Rockies. Snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky. Right. We'll hit you with the super soaker. Life's got ups and downs like a roller coaster.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.